Well, we are in a series preparing our hearts for next week, for Easter. And so thank you for being here today. Today is Palm Sunday. Traditionally, that's the Sunday or the first day of the week where Jesus comes riding into Jerusalem amongst shouts of Hosanna to the King. And they're laying down their robes for him to ride over on, and they're waving palm branches, and everybody's excited. Here comes the Messiah. Here comes the King of Kings. And we know later on in the week, things turn dark and grisly. Sandra says, hey, what's the name of your sermon? And I said, good question. I'm going to talk about the stone being rolled away, so call it the stone rolled away. And she goes, okay. And I said, well, wait a minute. How about final, when final isn't final? And she goes, well, which is it? You know, it's like, I don't know, and I still don't know. I want to talk about when final isn't final, because we've been studying the story, and we looked at it last week where Pilate finally says, look, take a guard, do what you have to do, make it as secure as possible. And we know that still couldn't stop Jesus from coming out. And so today, I want to talk about when final isn't final, because I think many of us have walked into situations where we said, you know, this situation is completely final. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know. It could be you got a doctor's report and you're thinking, okay, that's it. Maybe you were in a relationship and that relationship fell apart. Maybe just, you know, after you just met somebody, or maybe after years and years and years of being together and that relationship just fell apart and it felt, okay, that's final. That's it. Or there's a struggle in us to kind of keep getting to going back, to getting up. You know, in America, it's kind of like, okay, we always want the hero. We want the one that faces all odds and comes out, you know, Rocky. We want to be Rocky. We're not Rocky. We're more like Drago, okay? We're the bad guy. We have all of the comforts. We have all of the resources to do whatever, and we just go our own way. You know, we're not Rocky. We're not David. We're not any of these big characters. We're who we are and who God made us. And we look at things and we say, gosh, this isn't changing. Look at my life. It's not changing. Well, that's exactly what these two women are talking about, or what they're experiencing in Matthew chapter 28. They are walking to the tomb, Mary and the other Mary. They're walking to the tomb, and they are not filled with hope. They are actually filled with grief, and they think they're going to prepare the body. They're not expecting a miracle. They're expecting death. They're expecting to come upon the body of this man that they have been following for these 3 years. To them, the story is over. The stone is in place. Jesus is gone. Hope is buried. But what they thought was final wasn't final. I'm going to pick this up in Matthew chapter 28, and I'm going to read through the first seven verses. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Now, the other Mary is not his mother. The other Mary is the wife of Cleopas, who is the mother of John and James the Less. How'd you like that? You know, you're Howard the Less. You know, it's like, I don't know. But anyway, that's an aside. So it's two Marys, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, okay? Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said he would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Here's what happens. The women are coming to the tomb, right? As they get there, there's an earthquake. An angel appears sitting there, you know, on top of the stone. They notice the stone's rolled away. In fact, in the other verses there, in other Gospels, they're saying like, can you tell me what you've done with the body? Do you know where they've taken him? They don't know. And an angel goes, hey, he's not here. He's risen just like he said he would. Now I want you to go and tell the disciples and let them know. You ever stood in front of a stone or a boulder in your life, something that felt maybe too heavy to move. Again, a diagnosis maybe you weren't expecting, a marriage that felt beyond compare, a sin pattern maybe in your life that you can't seem to break, this addiction, or a sense of discouragement and this dark cloud that Margie calls it to me when I get in those little seasons. She goes, Paul, quit being Eeyore, you know, and that glum, oh no, we'll never make it, you know, and sometimes we just feel that, and we feel that the stones are permanent. Nothing's going to change, but here's the truth. As we prepare our hearts for Easter, what feels immovable to us is movable to God. Here's the truth. What feels immovable to us is movable to God. And I even put that on the screen for you. There it is. And Jason was praying that because I sent him my notes and he was praying my sermon today. So that's good. I appreciate that. That's God moving. What God moves, we cannot. God moves what we cannot. Have you ever tried? I was in a band. Bill Turpin and I and Will and David Bison, all of us, we were in a band. And we were playing down in South Georgia. And we are in what we call the Big Brown Van. Bill had this van, huge, Big Brown Van. And we would throw all our equipment in there. We didn't have roadies. We weren't that kind of band. We had to set up everything ourselves. And we're down in South Georgia. And we're at a hunt club. And so they said, yeah, man, we're going to feed you. I mean, this is South Georgia. Man, we're going to feed you. And it was like, okay. Well, they were. They had goat, and they had geese, and they had strange things that they went hunting and shot that day, and they were cooking it, and I don't know what all was there. Bill started choking, had a hiatal hernia. We thought he was kidding. It was like, he wasn't kidding. We got back in the brown van after the end of the gig, and we're driving home, and we're on 16. If you know anything about Highway 16, there's nothing. There's nothing on 16 except some cops, and if you're going a little fast, they will pull you over. Don't ask me how I know. Anyway, we're on 16, and we are going. All of a sudden, in Big Brown, the lights go out, and we're just going. I said, Bill, you're driving in the dark. He goes, shh, I know. I said, are we trying to be quiet? It's like, no, the power to the van is completely gone. And we are coasting at this point. And so when we go down the hill, we're going fast, but we're going up the hill. It's like we're barely making it. And when we get to the top, it would sputter a little bit, and we would go back down. We limped all the way to Macon. And we got to Macon, and we pulled into a place, and we couldn't even get into the driveway. So we had to get out of Big Brown. And we had to push Big Brown. Have you ever had to do something like that? And you think, this is crazy. Why are we doing that? And then the tow truck shows up. And you're thinking like, what? We are saved. And we rode with a tow truck pulling us from Macon all the way to Stockbridge. And we paid that fee. Because in the moment, we knew that with all of our effort, nothing is going to change until that tow truck came, and what felt stuck in our life at that moment wasn't really stuck. What's stuck in your life, and you feel like I've stuck, I can't do anything, I've lost my power, God is not stuck. The women weren't going to the tomb to move the stone. In fact, in another gospel, it tells us they were asking, who will roll the stone away from us? I mean, how are we going to get in there to prepare the body? And they're worried about this. They didn't have the strength. They didn't have the plan. But when they got there, the plan had already changed. The angel had already moved the stone. And can I tell you something powerful? That God has already handled what you're worried about in your life. That's why we live so powerless, because we consume ourselves with thinking we're the Savior, that we're the ones going to get out of this. God has already gone before us. This is how God works. This is how God works. We lose sleep over it, right? But He's already working on it because He knows. It's like the song we sang. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. We're trying to figure things out, but you know what? He's already gone ahead of us, and we're asking, how am I going to move this stone in my life? How am I going to do this? And God is saying it's already done. Before they arrived, the miracle had already happened. God moves what we cannot. The second thing I want us to understand about this story is the stone has already been rolled away for us. And here's something we miss. And this is what Jason said in the prayer too. Jesus didn't need the stone rolled away. I mean, Jesus walked through walls. Jesus walked on water. Jesus could have just boom, I'm there, I'm wherever I want to be. He didn't need the stone rolled away because he had already risen. The stone wasn't moved so Jesus could exit to get out. Jesus could get out anytime he wanted. The stone was rolled away so that the women could see in, to see that this tomb was empty, that something miraculous had happened. Have you ever gone to the movie theaters? And I'm not talking about you could stream stuff at home. I'm talking about in the good old days, the real good old days when the movies weren't $600, you know? But that was with a popcorn and a Coke, too. But anyway, you sit in the movie theater, and it's completely dark, and you hear people talking, and you think, what's going on? Or you go to a play, and the stage is dark, nothing's there. But all of a sudden, the lights come on, and the curtain opens, and you can see what's happening. And that's what the women experienced here. They go, and they see this empty tomb, and they realize their Messiah has risen. At first, they think, did someone take the body? The angel tells them, he has risen just as he said. The stage is already set. The movie's already set. It's already written. We just couldn't see it yet. But then when the lights come on, when the cameras kick on, when the lights and the curtains open up, then we can see. It's already been set, and now we can see. And that's what the empty tomb is. God moved the stone so we could see what he had already done. That's the truth I want us to get, is the fact that God has already answered that prayer. God has already moved. We just haven't seen it. The women could look inside and realize, you know what? Death didn't win. The grave can't hold him. The story isn't over. It was an invitation to say, look, ladies, look what I have done. And it's the same invitation to us. Look what God has already done in our lives. Today, it says, he still moves stones. God is still moving stones. He's rolling them away. And he doesn't do it just to fix the situations that we're in. He does it to reveal his power. We serve a powerful God. The stone was rolled away for us. Another thing that I want us to understand is the resurrection is present power. We have a habit, we talked about this in Sunday school a little bit. We live in a culture and a time that we think down the road things will get better. We talked about, like, you know, when we're young, you know, we think like, okay, you old people, you've already had your life, you've got it all together, you don't have any worries, you don't have any temptations, you don't have anything. That's a bunch of, there's a word that the Greeks use, crap. That's a bunch of crap, okay? Sometimes the older you get, you find yourself in more situations thinking like, oh man, this is crazy. How did I get here? I can't believe I'm tempted by this. I can't believe this. I can't believe that. But the resurrection is present power for our lives now. I want to turn to John chapter 11. Verse 25 and 26. He says this. Jesus is talking to, he's gone to see Lazarus. Lazarus, his good friend, has died. And Martha and Mary are there. Martha comes out and he asked her, says, your brother will rise again. And Martha, being as practical, she goes, yeah, you're right. That day when the resurrection comes, everyone's going to rise at that day. And Jesus told her, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. And anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Notice what he says. He doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to one day give you a resurrection. One day. He doesn't say that. He says, I am the resurrection. There is only one way to get to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. He is for our salvation, he is our hope, and he's our help in present troubles. It's not just something that Jesus does. Hey, I rose, one day you're going to rise. It's who Jesus is. Have you ever seen a yard in the middle of the winter? A couple years ago, Margie and I had some sod placed out. And when they put it out not in necessarily the growing season. So I looked like I had a brown carpet in the front yard. I mean, it looked good, but it was brown, and that's not what your grass is supposed to look like. Everything is brown. It was dry, looked completely dead. They kept saying, water it, water it, water it. We did. Then the spring came, and the rains came, and the sun began to shine. And what looked to be dead and brown now was turning green and lush and thick. Life was there the whole time. Life was there. We just couldn't see it. And that's what the resurrection power is, that we live in the present moment, but we're thinking of other things and not about Christ in that present moment. Just because something looks dead doesn't mean God is finished with it. And the resurrection power is not just some future hope. It's present power. It gives us now peace in the midst of anxiety. It gives healing to brokenness. It gives us purpose out of our pain. And it brings life when things feel dead. And I know we all go through different seasons. And sometimes you may be in a spring season where you're experiencing this new revival in your life and this sense of renewal, and things are going great. And then the summer, man, you're just cruising along. Man, I'm reading my Bible study every morning. Things are going great. Then the fall comes and things are starting to slow down. But all of us eventually hit winter season in our life, where we lose hope, where we lose faith, where we take our eyes off of the prize and we think, is this all there is? God, are you there? Can you hear my prayers? You may feel like something in your life is buried, that something is just too big, too powerful for me to even deal with, but Jesus is alive. And nothing is beyond him, and he is the resurrection. And this is where it kind of connects with us at 3 Point. Our mission is to love God, to love others, and to make disciples. Because God rolls stones away in our lives, people will notice. Man, you just went through this horrible experience in your life, and yet you still have a smile on your face. You still have hope in your heart. What do you have? Could you bottle that up and give me some of that? Because I'm hopeless right now. God will roll the stone away, and we see that, and we could be an example to others. Do you read your Bible study this morning out of the Word for You Today? Okay. Okay, thank you, all four of you. I appreciate it. And, that he will work in us, for us, and through us. He's at work. When someone who was hopeless finds hope, we have hope. When someone who was broken finds healing, when someone who lost their purpose, that's how the disciples are made. That's how disciples are made, not just through words. I mean, you could go out and you could give them the Roman road. You could just, you know, I'm going to get you down. You know, I'm going to scare the heck out of you so that you're going to turn. You know, if you die tonight, where are you going to go? And your words may in the moment do something, but it's not going to make a transformation in their life. Disciples are made through a transformed life, showing that transformation is possible, that Jesus is real. He's who he said he is. He's going to do what he says he's going to do, and he moves in our lives in such a way that the light of Christ in us shines out to others, and they want to know more. Our vision here is to see people transformed by God's love and amazing grace. How does that happen? Well, when we are anchored in the Scripture, when we open up God's Word and let it to speak to us, and it becomes our anchor, not holding us back, but keeping us firm in the middle of the storm. When we're steadfast in prayer, when we are on our knees and in constant communication with our Father, when bold in witness. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord our God is with us. And it happens one resurrected life at a time. So, what stone in your life needs to be moved? Where do you need resurrection power today? Because the same power that raised Jesus is the same power that is available to all of us. Maybe today you've been standing outside of a tomb. You've been thinking it over, and God is saying, look, come inside and see. I've risen. Jesus is alive, and when Jesus is alive, anything can change. I want to invite you to come up to the altar, or if you want me to come and pray for you where you're at, I want to pray for whatever stones are in your lives. I've got the oil, and it's heated up. I would be glad to anoint you if you're going through something in your life and you need that stone rolled away. Oh God, I pray you would restore our hope, that you would remind us what feels final is never final with you, that you give us faith to trust that you are still moving stones in our lives. And Father, bring resurrection power into every place in our lives that just feel dead. And Father, use our transformed lives to bring hope and blessing to others. We trust you and follow you and believe that you are still at work. And we pray this in Jesus' name.